Jonah chapter number one. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Barbara. That was wonderful. We appreciate it. Jonah chapter number one. If you have that passage, please say amen. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the other part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." They said one to another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as you it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The word of the Lord. Last week, we talked about the direct command that the Lord had given to Jonah. Arise and go to Nineveh. And we quoted a few other translations and how that conversation may have sounded like a little more graphically. Get up. Go. There was a great sense of urgency from the Lord for Jonah to go to Nineveh. The Lord's clock had alarmed. His righteous indignation was filled. There was no time left. It was time for Nineveh to hear the word of the Lord. God's called and appointed prophet Jonah was the man God called to carry that message. Repent. Isn't it wonderful how that God, in mercy, before God judges, God gives us time to repent. John the Baptist walks the shores of the Sea of Galilee and sees Jesus and points to him and says, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he preached, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. This is what God had in mind for Jonah. This is what God had in mind for Nineveh. That a faithful prophet will arrive on the scene and preach to that great city, that powerful city, but a wicked city. A city that worshiped other gods. They were idolaters. They did not recognize or reverence the God of Israel, the true God. Verse 3 says, which is where we'll start today, Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. Tarshish doesn't even sound like Nineveh. Couldn't have been confused about where God told him to go. He went down to Joppa and boarded a ship. Joppa was a stone's throw from Gath-Hepher. But Tarshish, depending upon which historian, and I should say that it's still a great puzzle as to where Tarshish is. Some say it's the extreme south of Spain, which would have been a long ways away. And some say that it's even in Africa, a coastal city in Africa. But the whole point is that Tarshish was a long ways away. God says, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm going to Tarshish instead. By the way, I do like the Net Bible's translation of verse 3. Most common translations that we use will say, but, as they begin that sentence, God tells Noah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah rose to flee. The Net Bible says, instead, Jonah rose and went to Tarshish. I think it just adds a little bit more clarity. He did exactly the opposite of what God asked him to do. That takes either a lot of nerve or someone who's very foolhardy. And God says, go to Nineveh. And he says, no, I'm going to Tarshish. God says, go preach against their sin. And he says, no, I'm not going to preach. Even as one of God's prophets, Jonah blatantly ignores the command of God. Apparently, Jonah didn't take time to think about this. He certainly didn't take time to pray about it. He didn't take time to consult with anyone, but he left the place God met him and with cold calculation checked out the ship's schedule, bought a ticket, and went the opposite direction as fast and as far away as he could possibly get. Traveled to the port city of Tarshish. It's a long way from where he should be. I've known some people in my lifetime, some who grew up with me in the ministry, and to know about their lives now, they're a long ways away from where they should be. Because rather than obeying God like Jonah, they went the opposite direction. And their lives have never been the same. This is a conscious decision. Jonah makes a conscious decision. It's no mistake. He's doing what he intended to do. It's premeditated. And by the way, this is the definition of disobedience. That's to say, disobedience is when we're determined to go the opposite direction or make a completely different decision than what God has made. He doesn't go where God tells him to go. Tarshish was a port city, and it's said, there was a saying that talks about the ships of Tarshish. And when they said that, the connotation is that the ships that ported from Tarshish were usually larger ships that were seaworthy for longer journeys. So one of the ships from Tarshish, no doubt, was ported in Joppa. Jonah picked a ship, a Tarshish ship, worthy of a long journey, because he wanted to get as far away from God as he could. He wanted to redefine himself. He wanted a drastic makeover, so to speak. It seems as if he wanted a different life. He didn't want to have anything to do with God. He was finished with ministry. I'm not going to do that. Male showed up in Gath Hepher. They wrote on the mail, "No longer at this address." Canceled his email account. He didn't want to hear from God. He didn't want any letters from God. He didn't tell any fellow prophets where he was going or what he was doing, where he was. "I don't want to hear from God. I don't want to hear from any of God's people. I don't want to be confronted in my waywardness." Jonah's a man on the run. He's running from his calling, running from his responsibility as a prophet. He's running from God's will, and he's also running from an opportunity to spread the good news. Here, perhaps, is the best opportunity Jonah has ever had in his ministry of seeing fruit from his labor. I want to tell you that before you say no, you need to think long and hard. That all the hard work you've done over all these years, you may be saying no, not realizing you're saying no to the best opportunity you've ever had. He's running from an opportunity to spread the good news of God's willingness to forgive Nineveh. It appears that Jonah had other plans. He wanted to do what he thought would make him happy. He wanted plans that fit into his schedule, his new lifestyle. He didn't want any drastic changes. He had his rest of his life already planned. His retirement set and where he would live. He's already envisioning the things he would be doing in retirement. Eat, drink, and be merry. I don't want God messing with my plans. This is the mindset of Jonah. He has a misunderstanding of what it means to be a follower of Yahweh, the eternal God. The God of Israel told Abraham to go. He left the Ur of Chaldees, which is now part of modern Iraq. He left that land, going to a land that God would show him. He told Moses to go. Deliver my people. Yahweh sent numerous other prophets to other communities. And finally, in the New Testament, we know the great command in Matthew 28 is to go. Go into all the world, St. Matthew's account of the gospel says. So why would Jonah think it's okay with God if he just sits, keeps the message bottled up inside of himself and doesn't tell anybody else? I should say that the Christian faith is not about you or I being happy. You can't find that in the Bible. It's about being joyful. It's not about being quote unquote successful, but about being faithful, as Mother Teresa once quoted. Jonah cancels his email account on God's server, silences his cell phone. He doesn't want to hear from God. I've worked all these years, and this is what I'm going to do. This is my plan. Well, it appears as if that's his mindset. Jonah now believes he's God. We know is not. Well, what's it have to do with me, you may be asking, Pastor? When things don't go the way we think they should go, the way you or I think they should go, when we have to delay or even cancel our plans, when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we think or have envisioned our plans to be, when God sends us another place instead of the destination we had in mind, when God sends us to the forest instead of the beach, when He sends us north rather than south, when we expected God to say yes, God says no. When we have to make hard decisions or difficult choices in tough circumstances, here's the question that we have in common with Jonah. Do we run away? Do we go the opposite direction from where God is leading our lives? Or do we retreat to the comfort of God's will for us? Knowing that God is with us and will not forsake us. Jonah didn't get on board with God's plan for his life, his ministry, and the lives of the people of Nineveh, but God in patience allows Jonah to board the ship of rebellion and land in the city of defiance. Notice here the long rope of God's patience with us even when we are disobedient. Oh, yes, God could have stopped Jonah. God could stop you and I from making certain mistakes. He could have stopped him in a variety of ways, of course. But the long-suffering predisposition of God allowed Jonah to use God's money. Everything we have comes from God, doesn't it? The audacity of Jonah to take the money God gave him the ability to earn. The money God lent him. And what did he do with that? As my late father, Bishop Charles Scott, said in a sermon, Jonah used that money and paid to go the wrong way. Jonah was paying to go the wrong way. Church, we are hard-pressed to have enough time and resources to do the things the right way. So who has time to do things the wrong way? Jonah obviously must have been a better person than all of us because he has time to do things the wrong way and spend the money the wrong way. Here is what the Holy Ghost is saying to his church through Jonah. There is a price to pay for going the wrong way. There is a steep price to pay for ignoring the will of God. Let me emphasize it a little more by saying it a little differently. It costs us something to think we know better than God.
to think we can make better decisions than God.
It cost Jonah valuable time.
A gift that each of us have only a limited amount of.
It cost him the price of getting on that ship.
Money that could have been spent more wisely.
But he spent it to go the wrong way.
And later we'll see that it cost Jonah his testimony or his credibility as a prophet of God. When he appears to the unbelievers as a delinquent, disoriented, and disobedient follower of Yahweh. There is a cost to going against the current of God's will.
And it's a cost that all of us have to pay if we act like Jonah. The prophet Jonah cannot expect, and neither can we, we cannot expect the right results if we're going the wrong way. None of us can. As I moved towards the conclusion, I was thinking about it more and more and said, what's behind all of this? What's up with Jonah? As far as we know, up until this time, a faithful prophet.
What's behind all of this? What's Jonah's problem? Why would he run from the message of God?
And I have come to this conclusion, and the only one I can think of. Jonah's problem is theological. And the reason why I was able to come to this conclusion, because it's my problem too.
And I would suspect it's probably all of our problems. It's theological. Jonah refuses
to go to Nineveh because he isn't convinced of the inherent goodness of God. He thinks God's trying to ruin his party. Get him upset. Mess around with him. Ruin his life.
Jonah's problem is when he refuses to go to Nineveh, is that Jonah is not convinced in the inherent goodness of God. He apparently doesn't know enough about God. He hasn't spent enough time with Yahweh to know that God's essential nature is good.
Another way of saying it is to say it like this. Jonah doesn't trust God. He doesn't trust God enough to believe that God will take care of him even in Nineveh. Jonah is a part of a chorus of Israelites who are followers of Yahweh. He's not the first one to profess a belief in the God of Israel. They share a common faith in their roots. The Israelites have a common story of God's faithfulness in calling them, even as Yahweh called their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They share the wonderful stories of their ancient relatives having been called out of heathen religions and their eyes being opened to the truth of one true God. Their oral history included the redemptive actions of God in saving their people from Egyptian slavery and Babylonian captivity. They heard the stories of the destruction of their temple, but the preservation of their community and their religion. Persevered in spite of the scattering of their tribes all over the face of the earth. God has been faithful to Israel as he has to us. As Christians, Israel's story is our story.
because we worship the same God. Jonah doesn't trust God. So he says, I'm not going. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it difficult for God because I'm going to go as far away from Tarshish as I can go. Jonah doesn't trust God. In my conclusion, I'd like to ask a question. Do we? Do you trust God? Have you thought about bailing out? Leaving it all behind. Forget about this calling, this responsibility. Forget about this life God's called you to. Are you running like Jonah? Or are you going like God wants you to? Let's pray. Lord in heaven and in earth, we give you thanks for your faithfulness toward us, your kindness toward us, even when we, like Jonah, are going in opposite directions of your will. Lord, we ask that you help us. You have been, always have been, and you are now, and you always will be good. On this eve of Thanksgiving week, may we carve out some time when we can reminisce about your goodness, where you brought us from and where you're leading us. Time to reflect upon the good things that you have done and are doing in our lives. A time for us to pray and ask, Lord, help us to continue to trust you, even when you're sending us to Nineveh. Help us, we pray, to trust you more and more, because, Lord, you have proven yourself to us. For this, we'll give you thanks, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.